Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. Creative Learning Concepts uses an innovative and unique approach to helping children from preschool through college. Each show, we discuss how to cope with some of the challenges facing today's children as they navigate their way through the academic and personal growth world of education. How do we as parents, educators, therapists, and clinicians keep children engaged and wanting to come to school and enjoying the process of learning? What are some of the pitfalls and roadblocks that inhibit the process, and how do we cope with them? Well, schools are starting up again for the fall semester and bringing with it a mix of excitement and apprehension. We're going to be talking to the director, Lisa Popper, about how to handle back-to-school anxiety. Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist, is joining us again for a lively discussion. We'll be right back on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, here is another year starting in school. Children are going back to school again for the fall semester, and Lisa, before we get into all the anxiety and nervousness and apprehension that both parents and kids are feeling as the new year starts, I'd like to circle back and ask you a little bit about your practice, your clinic, and tell us, when did you first start Creative Learning Concepts, and what was your motivation?
Thank you, Anne-Marie. And I have to say, I cannot believe how the summer just whizzed by. And it's already mid-September. Everybody's in school, and I'm getting called left and right by parents, but we'll talk more about that later. Creative Learning Concepts has been around for about 15 years, and I was in a totally different field of study when I was approached by one of my son's second grade teachers to help a child with some reading issues. And at the time, I didn't know what they were because I wasn't in the field. But I'll tell you one thing. He had absolutely no self-esteem. His attitude was doom and gloom. I cannot do it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm in the wrong field. I should be teaching. So I took this little boy outside on a picnic table because we were in California, and, you know, the weather is wonderful out there, yeah. So you can study just about anywhere. And the first thing I knew I had to do was change the way he thought, change his thought process 100% from an I cannot do anything to I can do everything, no matter what, as long as I try. So Creative Learning Concepts was born. The little boy just touched my heart, and I wanted to help all of them.
Okay, then Lisa, you came from California. You're originally from here. You moved back here. You opened up Creative Learning Concepts and subsequently went into book publishing, and you've been tremendously successful in your practice. And we'd like to just ask, tell us a little bit about what types of students you see, what categories of challenges you deal with in your practice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, Anne-Marie. I don't turn down anybody, but rule of thumb, it's any student who learns outside the traditional boundaries of education. But I do see a lot of students who have rare brain anomalies that nobody wants to touch. Kids who have been told that they'll never learn or they'll never read. I see students with dyslexia, autism, and as we well know, and for those of you who don't know, you could have 10 autistic kids in a room and they're all 100% different. One can speak, one doesn't speak. One has behaviors, one doesn't have behaviors. It's all every point on the spectrum. And I also have students who just need a little bit more of a push, confidence issues, self-esteem issues. From dysgraphia, dyslexia, all the disses you can think of, we tackle them all.
And I know that one of the things that you do, which is a kind of specialty, that although you have a lot of parents and students coming into the clinic for treatment for various and sundry challenges, that you're the only clinic that has an outreach program where if parents can't come in, you have therapists and clinicians who will actually go out to the home and see not only one but maybe two or three students in their home, which is certainly a more comfortable environment. And you're basically the only clinic that does this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, you know, there are a lot of two-parent working families with multiple children and, you know, nannies who watch the children. So it's a lot easier for the therapists to go to their home. They don't have to worry about dropping the kids off. And with a lot of the autism programs, the ABA programs, it's so much easier to do it in the home because you have things that the children are familiar with. The bathrooms are close by. If they need something to eat or a break, everything's nearby.
Right, so you find that creates a comfortable environment for them. And we've talked in the past about reducing stress and how stress and anxiety are one of the major problems you have to deal with right away in keeping the kids comfortable, and you're certainly very successful at doing this. Do you want to tell us some of the things you do when you first meet children?
Well, one of the things we do right off is have fun. That reduces the level of anxiety almost immediately. And especially with the ones you see are more quiet, their body language is inward instead of outward. You want to make them comfortable right away. And I take out every game I have in the office.
Yeah, so you use a lot of games and play acting in order to get them enthusiastic and engaged in getting to know you and feeling comfortable, and it's certainly been very successful. Well, we're going to go to a quick break, and in the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. To the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, during the last segment, we were talking about how school's starting up again, and it's children are filled with anxiety and apprehension and nervousness, and you've been for 15 years now running a very successful Creative Learning Concepts Institute, treating all kinds of children with all kinds of challenges. And one of the things you brought up time and again is what sets you apart is when you first engage with a new client, family, child, you are adamant about establishing the relationship from a point of view of having fun, getting to know them, relaxed atmosphere. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Lisa?
Yes, Anne-Marie. Laughter and fun gets a child to relax immediately. And sometimes we're laughing so hard we can't finish what we're doing. And then we forget and say to our students, okay, what were we doing just now? Because we've gotten so wrapped up in the laughter. But then everything opens up, and next thing you know, the student is learning, and the anxiety has melted away. But, you know, starting the school year, almost every student gets anxious in one way or the other. It could be emotional anxiety. Am I going to be liked by my peers? Am I going to be bullied? Because we all know how common bullying is these days. And they could have physical symptoms. A lot of kids get stomach aches. A lot of kids, you know, just they can't eat. And we all know what happens when you don't eat. You can't think. Your brain doesn't get nourishment. But it's essentially important that parents become be mindful of what they see in their children. If one child comes home and they're exceptionally anxious, the worst thing you can do is ask your child if he or she is anxious, because it's going to make them more anxious. You know, just ask them how their day is. What can I do for you? Do you need any help with your homework? How was your day? Did you meet any new kids? Did you see any friends from last year? How are your teachers? Just engage them in a nice conversation to relax them. And then if they need help, they'll ask you. But it isn't always as clear cut as that. Some kids come home and there really is something wrong. Don't expect them to have a perfect day on the first day back at school. And the first month either, because you're getting used to your teachers, you're getting used to material. And if you aren't aware of this, the first couple months of school is review. And then the new material is taught after the first marking period. I almost forgot, too, there's a different kind of anxiety that you see between the ages of 5 and 6 years of age. And these kids are highly intelligent, and they just absolutely refuse to go to school. And that's really a chore to remedy.
Now that you're on that subject, I've actually come across several colleagues and friends who have, you know, highly intelligent kids. Some of them are in the private school sector that have told me of this scenario where the school starts up and 2 or 3 weeks into school, the kid's not getting up out of bed, or the parents are getting called. They're in the nurse's office, come and pick them up. And one friend of mine was recently telling me about her daughter that she's getting called 3-4 times a week. The kid's getting sent home with a headache, with a stomach ache, and there's the nurse's office, and then just in the morning dragging her out the door. And this is somebody who's already in fifth grade. It's not somebody that's new to the whole school process. There's nothing new about this scenario. What do you do in a case like that, where parents are at the end of the rope with trying to figure out how to not just get their kid to go to school? There doesn't seem to be any symptoms, but getting them to stay in school and overcome this anxiety.
Anne-Marie, a lot of times it's a fear of failure. And when you're aware of your abilities and you know you're approaching the end of elementary school and you're going into middle school and high school, the expectations are much greater. And even though you've done well, there's always that little voice in the back of your mind saying, am I going to be able to do this? And I think the first thing a parent should do is find out where that anxiety is coming from. And then little by little, you can figure out what those reasons are. And sometimes you have to seek outside help. I mean, you know, if I would like to evaluate a student and see if it's something physical, if the child's being bullied. I mean, bullying knows no age. Adults are bullied by other adults. So it could be something as horrendous as that. It could be something physical. You have to find out what the reasons are, and you have to tackle every avenue. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we don't leave any stone unturned. And once we get to the reasons why the student is refusing to go to school, then we know where to go from there. Then we know whether it's something that needs psychological intervention or a biological intervention, then we go from there.
And I know this can be a real challenge for the two-parent home where both parents are working. They're maybe in professions, and one's a doctor, one's a lawyer, one's whatever, banker, whatever, but they've got to get out the door. They're dropping kids off at school, and they're anticipating that the kid will be in the school till the end of the day. And I've heard of many cases where there's a real fight getting them to go to school, and no apparent indication of what got this started. Where did it come from? It's out of left field. And the kids themselves can't seem to express why it is. You know, they just say, oh, I've got a headache, or I don't feel well, or, you know, I just wanted to come home. I think I'm going to be sick. And I've seen so many cases of this, and parents are absolutely in the dark about how to cope with this, how do we get over with it. And I know that you're very successful at treating these kids in this type of dynamic. Is there, can you add something?
Sure. Sometimes it's as simple as a child being afraid to leave home. It's a rather separation anxiety issue. And they're afraid that something could happen once they leave home. And they'd rather stay home because it's a safe environment to them. They don't have the challenges at home that they do at school. So, again, at Creative Learning Concepts, we're there to build confidence and to instill positivity in these kids. And the little ones are affected by it so much more. It's unfortunate, but, you know, they have so much fewer life experiences than the older children.
Yeah, and Siobhan, just to loop you into this, I remember you at one time had a violin student you were teaching who their parents were out of town and had gone to Chicago, and the girl wouldn't get on the bus and go to school. How did you handle that, getting that kid to actually, with her parents being in Chicago, how'd you get her to get on the bus and go to school?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, I had a very personal experience with this myself. And I remember, you know, around the age, as Lisa mentioned, I think I was about 6 or 7, I was going through a transition from a Montessori school going into another private school in the area. And for me, I think a lot of the anxiety was probably social. And it's I can imagine, very hard to tell, because I do remember, you know, feeling sick at school and wanting to go home and not being able to rationalize where this anxiety was coming from. You know, and as an adult, you try and think back, what was the issue at hand there? And, you know, for me, a lot of it was I was going through a serious transition where, you know, I was in an educational system where I was getting a lot of individualized attention, you know, in the Montessori system, and kind of learning at my own pace. And all of a sudden, you know, here I'm put into this system where everyone's learning the same vocab words and everyone's learning the same math level. And, you know, I was sort of on, you know, isolated in my own little area, you know. So I'm sure that a lot of it had to do with that. So it's always hard to know how to deal with it.
Yeah, well, we'll pick up on that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, at the last segment of the show, we were talking to Siobhan about the question of school anxiety and kids who get to school and they get sent home. Both Lisa and Siobhan were making comments about this. It becomes a real problem when parents are working and they're dropping their kids off at school and they're getting called an hour later saying she's in the nurse's office, or he or she's got a headache, a toothache, or whatever, needs to be sent home, which translates down into the short version being school phobia or school anxiety. And I know that in the last segment, Siobhan, I asked you a question. You had recalled a situation over the break where you had a student you were teaching violin to. The parents went out of town, left you with the kid overnight to put the kid on the bus the next day, and she refused to get in the bus. And we never heard your answer to that as to how you – we know you're not a professional, but how did you actually handle that situation?
Right. Well, it was definitely an interesting experience for me because, you know, as someone that doesn't have kids of my own, it's very hard to tell when you're dealing with the child of someone else what sorts of, you know, emotional turmoil they might be going through. You know, so in this particular scenario, I was this violin student. I was actually watching her and her sister for the whole weekend, and the parents were out of town. And, you know, Monday rolled around. The parents were coming back later that day. And, you know, she all of a sudden sort of had this mini breakdown and just did not want to go to school, said, you know, I'm feeling sick, had to be calling her parents. And, you know, meanwhile, they were there on some business trip, you know, busy with things. And, you know, it took a lot of just sitting down with her and talking to her and trying to understand what was the issue that she was facing. And, you know, it's interesting what we were talking about kind of during the break is that a lot of times when you're, you know, a child's experiencing this, they actually are highly intelligent and highly sensitive people. And so it's a little bit difficult to tell whether, you know, it's an issue with being worried about going to school or the challenges they're going to face academically or if it's really social. And, you know, what I was recalling, you know, and trying to talk to her was I was trying to think back to my experience and, you know, changing schools or being in the school atmosphere and, you know, the many ways in which I felt sort of marginalized in some ways. And, you know, especially if you're having a hard time and you're going to go show up to school late and walk into the classroom, it makes it an even more jarring experience, you know, because you come in late. Right. You stand out. You come in late looking upset. And then that just sort of exacerbates the problem because naturally your classmates are going to say, oh, what's wrong? Why were you late to school? And, you know, a lot of the problem is that kids maybe can't rationalize through it themselves at that age. And I think that was something I struggled with as well. You know, you might misinterpret that as sickness or you have a headache or you're experiencing physical symptoms when really it's something a little bit more complicated.
So to answer the question, how did you actually get her on the bus, and or did you get her on the bus, or how did you actually get her to school? We know you're not a clinician, but you did resolve the problem.
And I promise I'm not practicing to be a politician either, because I do intend to answer the question. I had to sit down. Her sister had gone on the bus to school in the morning, and you know, with the public school system, if you don't hop on the bus with everyone else, you're left with a driver, right. Which turned out to be me at this point. So I sat with her and, you know, I just talked with her and she revealed a lot of things about just general sort of free-floating anxiety that, you know, stemmed from maybe issues that she was having with her parents. She had a father that was out of town a lot and worked, you know, in another state often. And so I think she had some sort of missing piece in her life from that and often felt a lot of separation anxiety. And, you know, it was exacerbated, of course, that now her mother, who was kind of her closest companion, was also gone. And, you know, the idea, that's why parents sometimes walk their kids up to the door at school. It's an element of comfort. And whenever you're comfortable or you start your day in a comfortable way, you're going to be more productive and feel better about everything at the end. So, you know, I just sat down and talked to her and tried to explain to her that I understand how she felt and tried to calm her down to some degree, you know, offer it, you know, all of the compassion that I could. And I said, listen, I will drive you to school. I'll walk you up to the door. I'll talk to the principal or talk to your teacher. If you decide when you get up there that you really don't want to go in, that's fine. I will bring you home and I'll be with you the whole time. And a lot of the times that's what kids need. It's, you know, you're kind of thrown in at a young age into this social society of other 6- and 7-year-olds where you're dealing with other kids that, you know, may not have developed these, you know, empathy even or compassion, and they don't know how to communicate with other peers in a way that isn't going to be damaging. And so that's why a lot of, you know, social anxieties are developed at a young age, because you're in a society of all kids who, you know, might not be meaning to be mean to somebody else, but they just don't understand that you can hurt someone's feelings with words, you know, or by singling them out. So I think just offering myself, you know, as a companion to her for the day made her feel a lot better. And I eventually got her to go in, and she stayed at school for the rest of the day and was fine. But, you know, had she been left alone or just shoved on the bus and sort of been told to fend for herself, it might not have worked.
Who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
Well, and I know I'm coming back to a prior show that we had where we talked about the lady who wrote the book. What is it? The Tiger Mom. We talked about that.
The Battle Hymn
of the Tiger Mom. And I seem to notice that a lot of these kids who suffer this anxiety, this separation anxiety, this school phobia, they tend to be kids, maybe you'll agree or not agree with this, who are They've got parents that have got them into everything. Obviously, you are a private violin teacher. You are there giving music lessons, violin lessons, and the kid had something else to do every other day of the week. So, you know, they were in an upscale school district, and, you know, a lot of times these parents who are maybe gone a lot are also jamming their kids with all kinds of extracurricular activities and making all kinds of demands for performance. And anyway, good for you that you solved that one problem. And Lisa, I'm going to hand this back to you to comment on what you're seeing in this area.
There are many parents who are like the woman who wrote the book, The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and they have their kids in extracurricular activities for hours upon hours. Let's take violin, for instance, for the mere fact that we were talking about violin. This woman had her daughters, one was piano, one was violin, and they were practicing for 3 and 4 hours at a time. And although her two daughters had different personalities, you could have, you know, 5 or 6 kids in these musical activities or any extracurricular activity where they're flourishing and they're flourishing, but they have different personalities, and they're all going to handle the stress of what they're doing differently. Well, this one in particular, the one playing violin, she began to resent her mother, and she began to get anxious. And when she finally had a meltdown, when I read this part of the book, I just said, oh, my God, that is so harsh. How could you talk to your mother that way? And then as I was reading further, I said, you know what? I don't blame you for talking to your mother that way. The anxiety was, I think the mother produced the anxiety, and the child did not have the wherewithal to, or the strength to stand up to her mother and tell her how she was feeling.
Yeah, and another thing that I'd like to say is, I mean, we are in a society, too, where it's somewhat conformist in the sense that if you, let's say, go through the public school system, everything is very standardized. And even in my experience, like, for example, this student I was talking about that I was teaching violin to, you know, she was a very highly sensitive person, very, very intelligent, incredibly talented, you know, and she dealt well with having one-on-one lessons with me where we would talk about very advanced musical things. Now, I tried to do the same thing with her sister, and she was off with the fairies, would much rather be dancing around to, you know, Hannah Montana and drawing flowers all over the wall. And, you know, for me to expect that I should sit her down and say, okay, now you're going to play violin and give her the same regimen as her sister is kind of ridiculous. But, you know, that's sort of a microcosm of what the school system does. So, you know, I think it's incredibly difficult to figure out what's the solution to this. But, you know, definitely having personalized options is a good thing.
And I think also that, Lisa, what I'm hearing from you, and we'll come back to this after the break, is you need to be handling talking and dosing out a little bit of therapy to the parents as well, and not just the kids.
Oh, and I have a lot to say.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. To the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits, whatever it takes. Now, in the last segment, and we've been talking about school phobia, school anxiety, and now that school has, you know, today's show has been about the startup of the fall semester and beginning of a new year and the anxieties that come with it and the apprehensions, and a lot of interesting topics have been covered. One of the things that I noticed was, and Siobhan, you talked about your experience with teaching the violin student that you had that had a school phobia and how you handled it, very well handled. And I know that, Lisa, you've had great success with school phobia and anxiety and apprehension in students, especially the ones that are returning to school. And one of the things that I picked up as I was listening to you guys talk in the last segment is that it's not just about the anxiety of the child. It's not just about how they're, you know, interpreting their own anxiety by physical ailments and wanting to be sent home and separation anxiety and all this. You've got to get certainly to the bottom of it with the children, which you do tremendously well. You do a great job with these kids and getting them reintegrated quickly back into the school system. But I did pick up on the fact that there's also the parents that are out there in left field, and that I no doubt you have to deal with the parents and tell them, identify with them what may or may not have gone wrong here and how to not only get the kid back on track, but also to educate them to how to keep their kids engaged in school. Can you tell us a little bit about how you handle that in your clinic?
Yes, Anne-Marie. I have to have a session with the parents separate from the students because I've often found that their anxiety is quite a bit worse than their children's anxiety, especially when there's been a formal diagnosis of one learning difference or another. And I have to teach them a different language. You know, parents are so used to saying to their children when they do something wrong, no, that's not right, you should do it this way. Or, no, why are you doing it like that? You should do this or you should do that. Forget about the no's. I have to teach them how to find their children, especially when it's a behavioral diagnosis, catch them doing something good. I have to teach them how to use a language of positivity. Oh, I like that you waited for your brother to finish playing that game before you started. You know, things like that. I like that you finished your 5 math problems. Why don't you go take a break now? You know, I have to teach them how to create a more docile environment for their kids. And not just that, I want them to get along in a way where they're going to have fun helping their children do homework. You know, so I teach them the laughter and the games, and I teach them games that they can do at home with their kids. Because it's important for everybody to learn to laugh. The parents have to learn to like seeing their kids learning, like seeing their kids laugh. What's better for a parent than to see their child laugh, right? And I think that parents are often so desperately wanting their kids to thrive in the educational environment that they inadvertently add to their stress. And when I point that out to them, oh boy, you know, it breaks my heart and it breaks their heart too. So my main point, and that's why at Creative Learning Concepts, we find that teaching the parents is just as important to teaching the kids, and teaching the parents to laugh just like the kids and have fun. That's so important.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think there's a dynamic there, and the parents have to be clued in as to how to handle, you know, the children, not to overstress them, overburden them, overchallenge them, or demand too much, that they've got to be more clued in, and you're certainly doing a great job of, you know, dealing with helping the parents in that regard. Siobhan, did you have any comments to make before we close about the situation?
Yeah, well, not necessarily in regards to parenting per se, but just in terms of how we behave with colleagues or even people of our own age. And, you know, this is something that I've experienced in my various adventures as a musician. I mean, you know, I don't always play with the same people, and you never really know the educational background or experiential background of someone else. And, you know, a lot of the times, especially, you know, my personality type and the way that I went through lessons with teachers, a lot of it was sort of negative, to sort of reflect on what Lisa was saying, and a lot of like, oh, well, you know, you're not doing this fast enough, or I don't want to even finish your lesson, just come back next week and have it learned. And it's all just like very high pressure, no patience. And the problem is it sort of conditions you to become that way yourself. So we just really have to practice mindfulness every day and treat people with that level of patience and respect.
And kindness. Yes, exactly. Well, it's certainly been very interesting, but unfortunately we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, along with Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. Please do what you can to keep your children engaged, excited, motivated, and in love with learning for them and for all of us. You can contact Lisa Popper at the Popper Institute by calling 844-4-POPPER. That's 844-4-POPPER. Or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Wrap. conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Low Fat and violinist Siobhan Cronin. Good night, and as always, enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight up, down, down, you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D, it's for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gon' make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life gets hectic, it's all crazy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life's adversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions, don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too, now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success, now let's get it. T is for the truth, for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. D is for the victory, it is in sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for